permission to be the way you are, warts and all. Only when you have permission to be how you are, who you are, where you are, that you have permission to grow. If you don't, it you should be more, better, or different, then you can't grow. Because your starting point is that A should not be A. In this work we attempt to change our genes so we can become all we can become. I read this quote in an email today. I have done nothing all summer but wait for myself to be myself again, Georgia O'Keeffe. Growing is painful. It is a healing of sorts, growing into the bigger shoes your genes suggest you should wear. What she doesn't know, that if and when you become new, bigger, etc., then you'll be yourself. But bigger. And in the meantime it won't be very pleasant to grow. There is an expression, growing pains. And it is true, it is real. This quote could be your slogan while you go through the brain balancing sequence for the next weeks, months, so you emerge more whole, more complete than you have ever hoped to be. And you'll need it. If you think it is difficult and painful to get your parked car free from the curb where two vehicles parked an inch each from your car, then you know what we need to do is difficult and maybe even very painful. It takes tens, maybe hundreds of small moves for the brain to readjust to the new constellation and be stable again. There are seven kinds of people as far as healing goes. 1. They don't want to heal. They are hell-bent to stay the way they are. 2. They want healing but can't stand the heat of the kitchen, so they escape into some kind of dulling thing, like drugs or alcohol. 3. Have no symptoms. They experience nothing, they are numb, or unaware. 4. Have mild symptoms, and they are instant. 5. Or have mild symptoms, but they don't seem to be connected to the healing, so they won't share it. 6. Like me, have harsh symptoms instantly. 7. They have delayed symptoms, and they don't learn from them, because they came without rhyme and reason. They can't connect the dots. It's better for you to know what you are going through. Why? Because then you can expect yourself to be in the process of becoming different. If you don't know what changes, then you may behave as if nothing changed. And that is your tragedy, I think. You'll behave like the grown elephant who still thinks that they are chained, while there is only the memory of the chain is there. That leads me to look at another issue, the issue of people who never look in reality, only in their memory, in their minds, only in tree of knowledge. Your actual feelings, not emotions, feelings, are reality. And they talk to you. If you look there, in your feelings for guidance, you'll notice your new reality, the reality where you have permission, will guide you. But if you look in your memory, alas, you'll be guided by what has always been your world. That you have no permission to grow, no permission to be yourself, no permission to be the way you actually are. Smart, stupid, pretty, ugly, diligent, lazy. However you really are. I said it a million times, and I will, probably, say another million times. Context is decisive. If you know you are supposed to go through something because the brain is trying to create a new balanced stable state, then your context is going to be, pain is good news, the gene adjustment worked. If you, for example, asked me to adjust your daughter's genes, and never told her, she will have symptoms that come out of the blue, and she will be scared, and you'll treat the symptoms, go to doctors, and do what you have always done. And the brain will say, I can just go back the way it was. Gene adjustment, your brain. And your personality. In addition to gene adjustment by source, you can have a gene adjustment, and or a brain adjustment from circumstances. A personal tragedy, an accident, or, as in my case happened, brain damage due to overwork, not sleeping, or an amateurish surgery. If someone has a brain surgery, you'd expect their personality to change, wouldn't you? None of those brain damage incidents changed my personality. While the grand mal seizure caused by the holosync audio did change me. The surgery from which I came out of with massive brain damage happened 5 years before this holosync incident. The brain hadn't realized it had changed. Until the holosync audio started to shake my brain and the brain felt that it had holes in it. And the brain realized that unless it does something, it will fall apart. Thankfully my brain didn't want to fall apart, so it reorganized itself. It made itself, energetically, like a sphere. And that was that. I came out of that incident a changed person. I became stronger, less needy, more confident, and more tolerant. Almost right away I moved out of my boyfriend's apartment, and rented my own. I still live in the house I moved into then. And most surprising, I found a way to make money, to make the best in my circumstances. And I came out of this potential tragedy winning. Relatively speaking. Relatively speaking, because what had not changed, what didn't turn on its own, was the permission gene. A gene that naturally would turn on when the entitlement genes turn off. So if your entitlement genes, both, are still on, your permission gene is off. If one has turned off already, then you have a better chance coaxing that one entitlement gene to turn off too. By denying it any say in the matter of your behavior, the matter of your thinking, the matter of your life. The upcoming challenge. The upcoming challenge, I christen Bring Purpose to Life Challenge, is really about acting as if. Acting as if you had permission to be exactly the way you are and exactly the way you aren't. Bringing that there is nothing wrong with you, nothing to fix, into practice. If you do the challenge as if your life depended on it, and it does, then it has a chance to turn off the entitlement genes and turn on the permission gene. Sign up to the challenge. I was sexually abused at the time, and talking about it made friends' parents prohibit their children to play with me. It strengthened the victim stance, and kept one of the entitlement genes stay on when it, by nature, should have turned off. And therefore the permission gene that would allow me to be exactly the way I am and exactly the way I am not, did not turn on. It didn't turn on for my brothers either. And it wasn't ever on for my parents either. Why is it important to have permission to be the way you are and the way you aren't? To accept yourself as you are, warts and all? Because as long as you aren't okay the way you are, you can't grow. Because, as far as you are concerned, you are not the way you should be. So A is not A. In your world A should be different. You should be different. You should be further ahead. Smarter. Prettier. More appreciated. So all your energies go to fixing yourself, or proving that you are better than you are. The permission gene would allow you to be. It would allow you to be free to be yourself. And because there is nothing to fix, you can make as much positive splash in the world as you wish. Source says I am not delusional when I say my discoveries are Nobel Prize worthy. Books are written about smart people doing stupid things. Everyone knows very smart, highly educated people who have never amounted to much. Some people suspected that they don't have permission. And tried giving them permission. Or suggesting that they give themselves permission. But talk, suggestions don't change the genes. So for most people it doesn't work, didn't work, can have worked. Not even in hypnosis. Maybe there have been exceptions. I don't know. It depends on the power of one's word. Permission is an in the genes issue. It is not intellectual. And so are all the 162 spiritual capacities I have been talking about for 10 years or so. You are born with whichever genes, some expressed and some unexpressed. The genes are on or they are off. Epigenetic shifts can turn capacities, genes on. But epigenetic shifts are rare. They require extraordinary pressure, threat for the individual to stay alive. And only a few go through that. Near-death experience is like the kind of pressure that is needed for epigenetic shift to take place. When geneticists look at the gene tree, they don't look where I look. They look, I think, only to health, or more precisely disease. They would, likely, never discover the permission gene. Because when you compare famous high achievers and same IQ no achievers, seemingly there is nothing different in their DNA. But when I muscle test really exceptional people, people who have seemingly defied gravity, when I muscle test it, most test yes for the permission gene. The infamous Elizabeth Holmes. Permission gene off. And I have muscle tested some more infamous people who got famous not for their work but for pedophilia, or fraud, or some other immoral reasons. And all test no for the permission gene. Even Steve Jobs didn't have the permission gene on. It's a rare person who has it on. Now, if you have no skills, no useful knowledge, no character, nothing going for you, you'll still have to get all that knowledge, skills, character, if you want to stand out and become someone worth writing about. If the lack of permission kept you stuck in a worldview that rendered you non-productive, then the first symptom of the permission gene turning on is that you can change your mind about the world and about yourself. Einstein said something really perfect for here. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. But to look at things differently, you need to be willing to change how you look. And I don't know who said it, but the ability and the willingness to change is the divider between intelligent and not intelligent. Okay, I found the quote I was looking for, and it was said by Einstein, "The measure of intelligence is the ability to change." And I think that the permission gene is about that, the ability to change. Change your mind, change what you see, change where you are looking from. Become flexible in that. So here are a few interesting things. Warren Buffett, his permission gene is off. He changed his trading behavior only because of his partner Charlie Munger suggested that he does. Without that, Warren Buffett would not be famous, he would be a penny stock trader, insignificant. So, as you see, many famous and rich people don't have the permission gene on. Peter Thiel, Elon Musk, JFK, etc. Einstein said something else about intelligence: the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge but imagination. What he meant, I think, is the permission to think outside of the confines of the known. If we look at science fiction authors, some have the permission gene on, but most don't. Jules Verne did. Stanislaw Lem didn't. H.G. Wells did. Ray Bradbury did. Margaret Atwood did. Aldous Huxley did. So in the past week or so we have added some 20 plus people to this exclusive group of people, people for whom I asked Source to turn their permission gene on. Some of them report to me in email, as they promised, to let me know what they are experiencing. I turned my own permission gene on. And it stayed on. And at the same time all the entitlement turned off. On Tuesday it got really cold outside, and I turned the thermostat on. And the heat didn't come on. Not even the blower in the furnace. I don't know what the trouble is. The pilot light is on. And yet. If I were still entitled, and legally I think maybe I am, but my beingness isn't that I am entitled. It is that it is my job to make sure I don't freeze to death, not my landlord's. So no victim feelings, no anger, no nothing. I am taking care of it the best I know how. So now it's your turn. If either or both of your entitlement genes is still on, you owe it to yourself to do what can turn it off. And turn on permission for you to be exactly the way you are. And exactly the way you aren't. We'll attempt it in the upcoming challenge. Where you are going to act even though your history is that you can't. Your mind says that you can't. And if you will, then you may trigger the epigenetic shift. That's the goal. Sign up to the challenge.